As you know, we are involved in a verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. And so today, we want to move on to chapter 14, and the title of my message today is, In Jesus' Name, We Press On. So, you ready? All right, a little bit of background. Remember, the man that we now call the Apostle Paul began as a Jewish Pharisee, as a Jewish rabbi named Rabbi Saul. He was a ruthless persecutor of the early church, but as he was on his way to Damascus to persecute and arrest more Christians, the living Christ appeared to him and knocked him down on the ground. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord appeared to him, and right there, Rabbi Saul accepted Jesus as his Messiah and his Lord. Now, here in Acts 14, 10 years later, we find the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, his friend, traveling around the Eastern Mediterranean and preaching the gospel. These two chapters, Acts chapter 13 and 14, record what we commonly refer to as Paul's first missionary journey. And we're going to pick up right at the end of chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas are in a city named Pisidian Antioch. This is not the Antioch that sent them out, their home church. It's a different Antioch in the central part of modern-day Turkey. So here we go, Acts chapter 13, verse 42. And as the Jewish people went out of the synagogue after Paul had shared Jesus with them, the Gentiles began begging that they, Paul and Barnabas, would preach these things to them, tell them about Jesus on the next Sabbath. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Hey, how great is this? I mean, how'd you like to go down one day and stand on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and start to preach Jesus and 500,000 Washingtonians show up? How great would that be? Yeah, well, that's what happened here. Almost the whole city showed up. But when the Jewish people saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things being spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you Jews first, but seeing that you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, when they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Now, so far, so good. Yes? Okay. But, verse 50, the Jews here in Pisidian Antioch stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and raised up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of the region. Now, this word in the Greek New Testament, to drive them out of the region, is the Greek word exbalo, and it means to drive someone out with force. It means that this parting was not amicable. It means that it was ugly. It means that in essence they rode Paul and Barnabas out of town on a rail. And you would think that at this point, Paul and Barnabas would have kind of stopped and said, hey, look, man, this is craziness, you know, to be treated like this. Why don't we just kind of go back to our home church and where everybody likes us, huh? But they didn't. Look what happened. The Bible says, but Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust of their feet against them. You remember Jesus started this custom as a sign of rejection and contempt. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and went to the city of Iconium. Now, let me show you a map. And what you'll see is that Antioch to the top left, a little bit of Iconium, was where they were, and now they're just walking the road. The next city on the road is Iconium, and what happened here? It came to pass at Iconium that they went to the Jewish synagogue and so spoke that a great multitude of both Jews and Gentiles believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the unbelieving Gentiles there in the city of Iconium and poisoned their mind against the brethren, Paul and Barnabas. And when an attempt was made by both these Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, Paul and Barnabas became aware of it. And what's the next word? Say it. What? They fled to Lystra. They didn't stroll. The Bible doesn't say they strolled. They had to flee for their lives. Now we'll go back to our map. Let's show you where Lystra is. Again, Paul and Barnabas just walking down the road. You see that? Going to city to city to city. And what happened in Lystra? They fled to Lystra, and there they continued to preach the gospel. But the Jews came there to Lystra from Pisidian Antioch and from Iconium. And having won over the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, Paul arose. You say, well, was he dead or was he just unconscious? Yes. Okay, let's go on. And look what Paul did. He went back into the city again. He went back in and said, hey, fellas, I'm back. I think they were a little surprised to see him. Then the next day, Paul went farther away with Barnabas to Derbe. Again, back to our map. And you'll see Derbe is just, again, the next city on the road. And there they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. Now, verse 21, chapter 14, the Bible says, then. And I want us to stop there for a minute. I want us to go back to our map. And I want you to see with me on this map that Paul could have easily kept going east from Derbe back to his home church in Antioch, back to safety, back to security. In fact, can you see from the map with me that this is actually the shortest way for him to get back home? Everybody see that? That was the short way to get home, but that is not what he did. Look, verse 21, chapter 14, then Paul returned to Lystra, where they had stoned him, and to Iconium, where they had wanted to stone him, and to Pisidian Antioch, where they had ridden him out of town on a rail. And why did he do that? Well, he did six things when he went back to these cities. Watch, these verses tell us. Number one, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Number two, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Number three, saying to them, reassuring them that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God, that their suffering was normal and to be expected, so don't worry about it. Number four, he appointed elders in every church. All of these believers were there, but they were disorganized. They had no leadership. He appointed elders. Number five, he prayed over them, the elders, with fasting and taught the people how to pray with fasting. And finally, number six, he commended these believers to the Lord in whom they had believed. And when they had preached the word in Perga, back to our map, let's show you, they sailed back home to Antioch on the far right side of the map, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had, say the last word, completed. Right. You see, let me tell you why Paul didn't go straight home from Derbe. Why he didn't take the short route home? Because the work had not been completed yet. Paul didn't believe in preach them, save them, and leave them. That was not Paul's model. Paul knew that these believers he had led to Christ in all of these cities weren't ready to be left yet. His work had not been completed yet. And so he went back to those cities to strengthen them, to organize churches, to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to fast, to appoint elders so there was spiritual leadership in these churches, to reassure them not to worry about their suffering. It was normal, and to commend them to God and exhort them to keep going for Christ. That's when his work was completed. And that's why he went back. Do we all see that? Yeah. Again, like I say, it wasn't preach them, save them, leave them. That was not Paul's model. It was preach them, save them, and then work and disciple them so that they last and grow strong for the Lord Jesus. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our chapter, because it's over just about. But we're going to stop now. We're going to ask our most important question. So, at all of our campuses, I want a rhinoceros, so what? You ready? You ready? All right, here we go. Come on now. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that was rhinoceros beautiful right there. Okay. You say, Lon, look, this is great. And boy, what a guy Paul is. But I'm not really sure that I see much application to me here. Well, let's talk about it. You know, here in chapter 14 of the book of Acts, we see the Apostle Paul display the kind of spiritual grit and the kind of spiritual tenacity that characterized his entire Christian life. Hey, friends, the bottom line is that the words give up simply did not exist in the Apostle Paul's vocabulary. I mean, whatever God put before him, whatever God led him into, whatever hardships or trials or tragedies God allowed to come upon him, no matter what happened to him, no matter who did it to him, no matter whether Paul understood why God was doing it or not, the Apostle Paul pressed on. He pressed on loving God and believing God and trusting God and obeying God and serving God and standing for God and preaching Christ. He pressed on. Now the question for us is why? Why did the Apostle Paul live this way? And the answer is very simple, my friends. He lived this way because the Apostle Paul believed the Bible. The Apostle Paul believed the Bible. And in particular, he believed two great truths in the Bible. Let me show you what they are. Truth number one, the Apostle Paul believed Psalm 139, verse 16, which says, "All the days that were ordained for me and all the details of every day that were ordained for me were written in God's book before there was a single one of those days here on earth in time and space." The Apostle Paul believed that Almighty God had orchestrated every minute detail of his life before he ever took breath number one here on earth. And as a result, Paul believed there was no such thing as an accident. Paul believed there was no such thing as a coincidence. Paul believed there was no such thing as random fate. He believed that a sovereign God was in control of every single situation that came into his life. And the second thing Paul believed is Paul believed that all of these details that God had orchestrated had a divine purpose. Romans 8:28. He believed that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ personally, if you have trusted the blood of Jesus on the cross to pay for your sins, if you are relying on the redeeming work of Christ on the cross as your one and only way to gain eternal life in heaven, then listen, this promise in Romans 8:28, you are one of those people called according to God's purpose in Jesus Christ, and this promise is yours. It's not just the Apostle Paul, it's yours. Yes. And so may I summarize, please? We ask the question, why did the Apostle Paul live the way that he lived, and never giving up, always pressing on? And the answer is because he viewed, listen, everything in his life through the lens of these two biblical truths. He saw everything in his life, number one, as not accidental, but as divine. And number two, he saw everything in his life as having a Romans 8:28 ending, either while he was here on earth or even after he got to eternity. It didn't matter, but they were going to end in a Romans 8:28 way. That's how Paul saw his world. And folks, the point of today is that as followers of Jesus Christ, God wants us to see our world the same way. God wants us to believe these same two truths just like Paul did. And God wants us as a result to live the way Paul lived. You with me?
Amen.
And you know, this is exactly what Palm Sunday's about, folks. Jesus had people who tried to kill him. Jesus had people who earlier in his career who tried to arrest him. Jesus had people who had tried to stone him. Jesus had people who had tried to harm him. But yet he still came to Jerusalem where he knew most of these people were. And the Bible says that he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem and to ride down the Mount of Olives on that donkey and to ride into that city. 5 days later, he was on the cross. Now, why did he do that? Well, because he believed, number one, that none of this that was happening to him was accidental. It was all part of God's plan. And he believed, number two, that if he would obey God and simply press forward and believe God, that these events would have a Romans 8:28 ending. And they did. He went to the cross. He rose from the dead. And as a result, you and I have a way to get to heaven and a way to get eternal life that we would never have had otherwise. Was he right? Of course he was right. And if you want to know why he rode down that road and into that city, it's because he believed the same two biblical truths that the Apostle Paul believed. And that's why Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Jesus saw the world that way. I see the world that way. And I want you to see the world that way. Now, you know, I unless I miss my guess, I would bet that there are a lot of us who came here or to one of our campuses today discouraged and down and wondering how we're going to keep going and struggling with what we're dealing with in our lives. I know some of you came here and you're caring for aging fathers. You're caring for aging mothers. You're caring for children with disabilities. You're caring for loved ones with chronic illness. And it's exhausting. And it's every day. And it's hard. But God and I want you, we're here to tell you, my friends, that this is not an accident that you're in this position. And that there is a Romans 8:28 ending if you'll just stay faithful and press on. And we want you to draw strength from those two biblical promises and truths. And we want you to say, "Lord Jesus, with your help, I'm going to press on," like Paul did. And some of us came here today, and we are dealing with abuse from people because we're trying to stand for the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's abuse in our family or abuse from our friends or at work or even in our marriage. And it's hard. And we're starting to lose heart. And we're starting to say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And God and I are here today to say to you, oh, yes, you can. This is not an accident. And if you will stay faithful, there will be a Romans 8:28 ending to your situation. So call on the Holy Spirit, draw strength from the promises of God, and like the Apostle Paul, press on. And some of us here came in today undergoing chemotherapy. Some of us came in with other medical problems, a bad knee, a bad hip, diabetes, dialysis. Some of us came in here today, we've lost our job and we're having trouble finding another job. Some of us came in here today, we've lost a loved one recently, or we're single and we weren't planning to be single at this point in our life, or we're dealing with infertility in our marriage, or we have a child who has medical problems, and it's hard. It's hard. But God and I are here today to say to you, folks, this is not an accident. You're where you are. And God will and already has planned a Romans 8:28 ending for your situation. Now, you may not see it till eternity, but you'll see it. And so, therefore, draw strength from God's promises like Paul did. And with the Holy Spirit's help, press on. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. And I know whereof I speak. After 25 years of raising a child with disabilities, I know whereof I speak. It's hard. But that doesn't mean we quit. It means we trust Jesus and we go forward. That's what it means. And listen, I'm not talking here about some kind of power of positive thinking. You understand? No. Let's be perfectly clear what we're talking about. We are talking about God's children in Jesus Christ believing the promises of our Heavenly Father so fully and so completely that it gives us the strength we need, and it gives us the tenacity we need, and it gives us the courage we need, no matter what life throws at us, in Jesus' name, to press on. That's what we're talking about here today. End of message. Praise the Lord.